Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Happy birthday, Brother Daryl. Bless your name. Brother Daryl ain't in here. Brother Daryl, happy birthday, man. They can't hear us back here. God, that fan too loud, amen. Just let them know I told them happy birthday, amen. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want to focus my attention in that 11th and 12th verse. For we fight, for we wrestle, for we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want to preach this morning the time that I have. I want to use as a sermon topic, look at somebody and tell them, take the fight where it belongs. Take the fight where it belongs. So much of our days is spent fighting. Matter of fact, our greatest fight starts even before we get out of bed. We are in a fight. We are fighting just to wake up. Brother Raheem, we are then fighting ourselves to stop hitting the snooze button. And then at some point, we find ourselves fighting to keep our eyes open with the intention of actually getting to work on time and to stop from being late again. We then get in cars and we fight traffic to get to work. And then when we get to work, we fight to find a good parking space. And then when we leave work, we have to fight the same traffic to get back home. Whether we know it or not, half of our days we spend fighting against things that will have no impact or real change, because a lot of times we don't even realize that we are fighting the wrong stuff. Fighting with our bosses and our coworkers as soon as we get to work. Fighting with our families and our spouses. Fighting with our enemies and our friends. And sometimes we've gotten so accustomed to fighting that we don't even realize it when we are doing it, because fighting has become our life's practice. Now, I want to be clear, this is not a sermon that is saying that we should let folks run over us. And it's not a sermon that's saying that we shouldn't stand up for ourselves. It is really the exact opposite, because it is really a sermon that is saying that we need to make sure that when we do fight, that we understand exactly who and what we're fighting against. Too many times we are fighting the wrong things in an attempt to win a fight that we end up losing. And we don't even realize that behind the scenes, there's an enemy that is out to destroy each and every one of us. An enemy, the devil, who does not play fair. An enemy that does his best work lurking in the shadows. fools, an enemy that loves to throw the rock and then hide his hand, an enemy that counts on us not even to recognize that he is the initiator of most of the fights we are currently engaged in. Look at somebody telling you, you got to take the fight where it belongs. And the Bible says it like this: for our struggle, our wrestle, our fight is not against flesh and blood, is not against our brothers and our sisters, but it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. In other words, our fight is beyond our bosses and our co-workers. Our fights are beyond our family and our spouses. Our fight are beyond our friends and even our haters. But our fight is on another level. Our fight is connected to a realm that we can't always see, but if the truth be told, we can feel it. You ever walked in a room and the energy just wasn't right? You could feel that something wasn't right in the house, or something wasn't right in your boss's office, or something wasn't right when you walked into a certain room. That's the fight that I'm talking about. And it is a realm. It is a place that is designed to create havoc, produce chaos, and deliver mayhem in our lives. It's indeed a fight for our life. And whether we want to believe it or not, this realm is currently operating and at work at destroying God's children. Whether we want to believe it or not, this realm's only objective is to keep us living beneath the grace and the mercy that God has afforded us. Whether we want to believe it or not, this realm is attempting to recycle the generational dysfunction in our families. Whether we want to believe it or not, there is a realm that is at work that wants us to perish and not prosper, wants us to be sick and not whole, wants us dead and not living our best life. It is in this realm that we find things happening that we don't even know are happening. And in our current culture, everybody wants to talk about problems, but nobody wants to talk about the evil that's associated with the problems. Everybody wants to talk about and discuss the issues without ever addressing the demons that are right there in the room. But I came by this morning to tear the enemy's camp down. I need us to take the fight where it belongs. And because we don't always understand this other realm and who we ought to be fighting and how we ought to be fighting, it causes us so much collateral damage. So we fight, and our fights are causing more harm than they are good, because we keep putting the wrong face on the wrong enemy. And so we find ourselves in fights that are causing our families to be broken and our marriages to end up in divorce courts. Our fights cause us to hurt those we love and damage people's emotional stability. Our fights cause us to hate, and hate ends up trumping love. You'll get that when you get home. When we fight against people instead of powers, and demographical regions instead of demons, and worldly matters instead of the wicked located in high places, we end up adding fuel to the fire of this hell on earth when we keep miscalculating our jabs, hooks, and uppercuts towards the wrong enemy. But look at somebody telling them, I got to fight the right fight. So my assignment this morning, and it ain't going to be an easy one, is to shift our attention to where and who we should be fighting. The Message Bible says it like this in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, says the tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies and tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God and fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lines of obedience into maturity. I'm just trying to grow somebody this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand that we can't keep allowing the enemy to exploit us by fighting the wrong fight and wrestling in the wrong match. But God wants us to take the fight where it belongs. And that fight is in another realm. And the enemy of our souls knows us better than we know ourselves. And so if you don't mind, I just want to share a few things that he knows about us so that we can know how he uses those things to get us to fight the wrong fight. Because I'm believing we're going to tear down the enemy today. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm fighting a different fight this morning. I ain't fighting against my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I ain't fighting against my husband or my wife. I ain't fighting against my children and my boss and my co-workers. But can I tell you that I'm fighting against the very one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything that I have. And I come against him in the name of... look at somebody. Tell them the first thing you got to do if you're going to take this fight where it belongs. The first thing you got to understand that the devil knows about you is that he knows your trigger. Look at somebody, tell him he knows my triggers. He does. He does. He knows my triggers. And the challenge with that is that he knows what he needs to do to trigger us. And most of the times, the way he triggers us is that he uses other people as his instruments. And we rarely take the time to think, but we automatically respond when those triggers are activated, when those triggers get pushed. I wish I had somebody that would be honest enough to admit that you got some triggers. And so we end up fighting those who have triggered us, not realizing that many times they are just who the enemy is using to get us to come out of our character and to glow our Holy Ghost color. So this is what happens. After we done cussed them out, and after we done acted a complete fool, and after we done shouted at the top of our lungs and pulled out whatever we had in our purse or went and popped the trunk to get the gat. I'm just trying to help somebody that after we've done all of that, it's too late. We've thrown the wrong punch at the wrong enemy using the wrong weapon. Guess who's laughing the hardest? The hardest and the loudest is those demonic spirits that were sent to accomplish exactly what they were assigned to do. And so although we may initially feel better after our first response, it's not until later that we realize that we were the ones who got played. Because the enemy wants to trigger us. Why does he want to trigger us? Because he wants to damage and cripple our credibility. You see, he triggers us because he understands it's not just about us. And it's not even about those that we actively display our aggression against. But it's also for those who are watching our initial response. Look at somebody, tell them, somebody's watching me. There are folks that you love. Folks that you care and are concerned about, folks who you know need to experience God in their own lives. And the only problem is that although you have shared with them about God, they have also seen how you've responded when you've been triggered. Mm-hmm. And so although they have heard what you said, they also have seen what you've done. And sometimes that doesn't match up. In other words, what they hear us say about God don't always match up with what happens when we're triggered by the enemy. And the enemy knows that if I can trigger you, I can kill 2 birds with 1 stone. I can destroy your testimony while also keeping them from ever coming to know the God that you say has been good to you. One of my favorite quotes is from Howard Thurman, that great theologian. And he says, there is something in every one of you that waits and listens to the sound of the genuine in yourself. It is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls. When we understand that the enemy knows our triggers, it then keeps the enemy from DNA to play us like a fiddle and pull our strings like a hand puppet. When we know our triggers, it can help us to take a minute to pause, be patient, reflect, and then practice a different way of responding. Because your trigger isn't about what somebody's doing to you, it's about you. How do I know your trigger's about you? Because what triggers you don't necessarily trigger your neighbor. That's why you had to ask God to give you both self-control and deliverance. Tell them I need both. I need self-control and deliverance. I need self-control because that's going to help me to keep conflicting out on my entire family. But I also need deliverance so I can stop being triggered in the first place when they get on my last nerve. I need self-control and I need God to give me the self-control to keep me from cussing folks out. But I also need God to deliver the cuss words out of my vocabulary. I need both. I need God to give me self-control to not karate chop folks in their throat. But I also need the God to deliver me from the anger that makes me ball up my fist in the first place. I need both. I need self-control to take a second to listen before I speak. But I also need God to deliver me from always needing to win every argument and believing that I know everything about everything. Look at somebody, tell them, I need self-control and deliverance. I need to be maintained and kept. Ooh, good God Almighty, that's it right there. Tell somebody, I need to be maintained and kept. He knows our triggers, so we have to understand because he knows our triggers, he's always trying to push our triggers so that we can lose the credibility of our testimony and we can lose the worthiness of our witness. Because what is a Christian without a witness or a testimony or credibility? He's just someone who has hearsay because he's only heard it because he don't do it. That's another point. The second thing is this. Not only do we have to understand that the enemy knows our triggers, second thing is he knows our weaknesses. Tell somebody, I do get weak sometimes. I do. I ain't going to lie to y'all in church. I get weak sometimes. Matter of fact, I ain't even going to tell you what I did though I got here. Let me just tell you, I got weak. That's all I need. That's all you need to know. I got weak. I get weak sometimes. And he knows that. Verse 11 says, to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, a game plan, schemes, a strategy, schemes, that he's got a blueprint out about you. He already knows who you are. He knows what your weaknesses are. And so what is the enemy's greatest weapon? Temptation. That's what he uses. And many times, instead of fighting our temptations, we fall into our temptations. Not realizing that when we fall into temptation, we put our soul in harm's way. So we end up losing the fight because we keep falling into the very thing that makes us weaker and unable to fight the one who's trying to kill us. Y'all still ain't getting it. Okay, let me help y'all here. My cousin is right there. I love him. My cousin GC. I love his wife. I love his family. I love his daddy. His daddy is my uncle, Uncle Grantham. Let me tell y'all this. Any of y'all got an uncle that terrorizes all the nephews? I mean, every single one of them. I mean, terrorizes. He loves you, but he will terrorize you. And so that was my Uncle Grantham. And when I was a kid, the thing he knew he could get me with was to tickle me to death. Anybody here that you just can't be tickled because you're going to laugh? You're going to cry, you're going to scream, you're going to yell and die all at the same time? And so what he would do is, my nickname was Candy Man. He knew I loved candy. And so when he would see me, he'd say, "Hey, nephew, I got some candy for you." And my weakness, that was my weakness. He knew it was my weakness. And he wouldn't just show any candy. Pineapple now later, right there in front of my face. And I'm looking at that thing, and I would go to get it. And as soon as I go to get it, he grabbed me. And he started tickling me. And I'd be laughing, crying, shouting, dying, all at the same time. And there was nothing I could do, because once he got me in his grasp, I was too weak to fight him off. And the only thing I could do when it got to that point is just yell, "Daddy, Uncle Granville got me again." And my daddy, Orlando, would come down, and he'd come, and he'd go, "Get over here." And he'd grab me, and he'd get me out of my uncle's hands. And I remember there was one time we talked, he said, "Why is it you keep falling for the same thing over and over again?" I said, "Daddy, I can't help it." I said, "He knows my weakness." And I said, "Every time I try to fight it, it just pulls me towards. And then when I get there, I realize it's too late. And I'm laughing and I'm crying and I'm shouting and I'm dying all at the same time. And all I can do is call on you to get me out of trouble." He said, "What you have to understand is that once you get there, it's too late, because you don't have the power outside of me to fight him." He said, "But what I need you to do is don't wait till you get there." He said, "Call on me before." Ooh, good God Almighty. Bible says, "Submit therefore yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." We keep calling on God when we get in trouble. And God is saying, "I can get you out of that. But did you know I could keep you from even getting in there if you call me?" Can I tell you this? I'm going to start right here. I'm going to close it here. Can I tell you this? Why does he tempt us? Why does he want to destroy us? Why does he want to kill us? Because he knows he's already defeated. That's why the fight is so important, to understand who it is we're fighting. Because he just wants to destroy us. What does he actually want to destroy? Can I tell you what he wants to destroy? He wants to destroy your mind. See, this is the battle that we lose every day. It is the fight that goes on in our mind. And the enemy knows that if he can get our mind, he can control us to do anything. So he'll get in our minds and he'll tell us that we ain't nothing, and then we'll start to believe that we ain't nothing. And then we'll act like we ain't nothing. And we'll walk around like we ain't nothing. And we'll let folks treat us like we ain't nothing. And then we find ourselves in situations trying to figure out how we got here. Why? Because you did not put protection and covering over your mind.